राधवा कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जनवा गिरिवार धारी जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जनवा राधा गिरिवार धारी कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जनवा राधा गिरिवार धारी बिहारी गोपी जनवा राधा गिरिवार धारी गिरिवार धारी जय राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जनवा राधा गिरिवार धारी जय ओम श्रीपाद परमहंस प्रजाचार्य अस्तोत्र शत श्री श्रीमद्भुतवाणे एसी भक्त गणांत स्वामी शिव प्रभुपाद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
So this morning, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, Verse Number 35.
Bhagavan Sarvabhuteshu Lakshita Swatmana Hari Dushya Vibhyadi Vibhyashta लक्षणानुमापकाय भगवान सर्वभूतेषु लक्षिता स्वात्मना हरि दृश्य विद्यादि द्रष्टा लक्षणानुमापकाय
भगवान सर्वभूतेषु लक्षिता स्वात्मना हरि
Silence.
Bhagavan Sarvabhuteshu.
Lakshita Swatmana Hari.
Vishya
Buddhya Dhibi Dashta. Lakshane Anuma Pate.
Bhagavan
Sarvabhuteshu. Lakshita Swatmana Hari. Vishya Buddhya Dhibi Dashta. Lakshane Anuma Pate. Bhagavan Sarvabhuteshu. Lakshita Swatmana Hari. Vishya Buddhya Dhibi Dashta. Lakshane Anuma Pate. Bhagavan Sarvabhuteshu. Lakshita Swatmana Hari. Vishya Buddhya Dhibi Dashta. Lakshane Anuma Pate. Bhagavan Sarvabhuteshu. Lakshita Swatmana Hari. Vishya Buddhya Dhibi Dashta. Lakshane Anuma Pate. Thank you. Synonyms. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Sarva, all, Bhuteshu, in the living entities, Lakshita, is visible, Swa-atmana, along with the Self, Hari, the Lord, Dishya, by what is seen, Buddhi-adibhi, by intelligence, Drashta, one who sees, Lakshane, by different signs, Anumapakai, by hypothesis. Translation, in purport by Srila Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, is in every living being along with the individual soul. And this fact is perceived and hypothesized in our acts of seeing and taking help from the intelligence. Purport. The general argument of the common man is that since the Lord is not visible to our eyes, how can one either surrender unto Him or render transcendental service unto Him? To such a common man, here's a practical suggestion given by Srila Sukadeva Goswami as to how one can perceive the Supreme Lord by reason and perception. Actually, the Lord is not perceivable by our present materialized senses, but when one is convinced of the presence of the Lord by practical service attitude, there is revelation by the Lord's mercy. And such a pure devotee of the Lord can perceive the Lord's presence always and everywhere. He can perceive that intelligence is the firm direction of the Paramatma, plenary portion of the personality of Godhead. The presence of Paramatma in everyone's company is not very difficult to realize, even for the common man. The procedure is as follows. Prabhupada is giving us the procedure here. One can perceive one's self-identification and feel positively that he exists. He may not feel it very abruptly, but by using a little intelligence. So if you use a little intelligence, Prabhupada says, he can feel that he's not the body. He can feel that the hand, the leg, the head, the hair, and the lips are all his bodily parts and parcels. But as such, the hand, the leg, the head, etc., cannot be identified with his self. Therefore, just by using intelligence, he can distinguish and separate his self from other things that he sees. There used to be this play all the time, we did, not this head, this. So the natural conclusion is that the living being, either man or beast, is a seer, and he sees besides himself all other things. So there is a difference between the seer and the seen. Again, Prabhupada says, now by a little use of intelligence, we can also readily agree that the living being who sees the things beyond himself by ordinary vision has no power to see or to move independently. All our ordinary actions and perceptions depend on various forms of energy supplied to us by nature in various combinations. Our senses of perception and of action, that is to say, our five perceptive senses of hearing, touch, sight, taste, and smell, as well as our five senses of action, namely hands, legs, speech, evacuation organs, and reproductive organs, and also our three subtle senses, namely mind, intelligence, and ego, 13 senses in all, are supplied to us by various arrangements of gross or subtle forms of natural energy. And it is equally evident that our objects of perception are nothing but the products of inexhaustible permutations and combinations of the forms taken by natural energy. As this conclusively proves that the ordinary living being has no independent power of perception or of motion, and as we undoubtedly feel our existence being conditioned by nature's energy, we conclude that he who sees his spirit and that the senses as well as the objects of perception are material. The spiritual quality of the seer is manifest in our dissatisfaction with the limited state of materially conditioned existence. That is the difference between spirit and matter. There are some less intelligent arguments that matter develops the power of seeing and moving as a certain organic development. But such argument cannot be accepted because there is no experimental evidence that matter has anywhere produced a living entity. Trust no future, however present. Idle talks regarding future development of matter into spirit are actually foolish, because no matter has ever developed the power of seeing or moving in any part of the world. Therefore, it is definite that matter and spirit are two different identities, and this conclusion is arrived by use of intelligence. Now we come to the point that the things which are seen by little use of intelligence cannot be animate unless we accept someone as the user of or director of the intelligence. Intelligence gives one direction like some higher authority, and the living being cannot see or move or eat or do anything without the use of intelligence. When one fails to take advantage of intelligence, he becomes a deranged man. And so a living being is dependent on intelligence or the direction of a superior being. Such intelligence is all-pervading. Every living being has his intelligence, and this intelligence, being the direction of some higher authority, is just like a father giving direction to his son. The higher authority who is present and residing within every individual living being is the super self. I was assigned to read till here. Tomorrow the next speaker is going to read that part. Let me read that verse again. And then, the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is in every living being along with the individual soul, and this fact is perceived and hypothesized in our acts of seeing and taking help from the intelligence. Om Shri Padaya Keshava Shaya Bhakti Shankar Bhakti Vedanta Swami Kanamaya Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Vani Pajarani Nivishesha Shami Vati Paschakya Desha Vani Vanchakar Tatu Vastar Kutta Sini Bhiva Chapati Tanam Pavane Bhur Vashani Dhyan Maha. So there's a lot of talk about using intelligence. Prabhupada is talking about using intelligence. Sukhdeva Goswami is saying, and taking help from the intelligence. Prabhupada mentions, use a little intelligence. To understand things, just use a little intelligence. And then again he says, use a little bit more intelligence. First, use a little intelligence to see that we're not this body, the hands, and the soul is different. I'm not this hand, I'm not this body, I'm not this hair, or whatever. And then he says, then you can use a little bit further intelligence to see that actually this intelligence, this is a higher authority. We're dependent. And so he's talking about using intelligence. And in the previous verse, and by the way, that's the topic of today, about using intelligence. In the previous verse, verse number 34, Shukdeva Goswami writes that the great personality Brahma, with great attention and concentration of the mind, studies the Vedas 3 times. And after scrutinizingly examining them, he ascertained that that attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead Shri Krishna is the highest perfection of religion. The words in Sanskrit are anviksha, is to see, and then to see again. Anviksha, you see and you see again. So he did that 3 times. And then manishaya, with scholarly attention. So he studied the Vedas scrutinizingly with scholarly attention. And it describes kutastha, with concentration of the mind. 3 different things are been described here. Scholarly attention, concentration of mind, scrutinizingly. To me, almost, they seem like they're synonyms. But I didn't bother to look in the dictionary how they're different. But basically, the emphasis here is that he really studied. And he didn't do that 1 time, but he did 3 times. With his 4 heads, and his 1 head, when I think about Brahma, I think his 1 head, probably the brain power in his 1 head is probably 1,000 times more than Pangurana Prabhu's brain power. And he has 4 of them, and he did that 3 times. So 3 different adjectives are written here. And he did 3 times with his 4 heads. Wow. And then he came to the conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Wow. We also hear, so this is Lord Brahma. And you know, when he came, there was nothing there. There's nobody to tell him. There's nothing. He had to do the work himself. Then Lord Chaitanya came, and then he asked the Goswamis to write. And so Srinivas Acharya, he writes in those beautiful prayers that Shad Goswami asked of. It was so nice that Chaitanya sang the other day for the ladies' bhajans. But the verse Nana Shastra Vichaya Kanitamo. And there Prabhupada again uses the word, they scrutinizingly. Actually, I did remember looking at that word, and it said very minutely and thoroughly. That was one translation of that. Not translation, but description of defining that. And so Prabhupada writes that these Goswamis were very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. So they did the work for us. Yeah? They did the work. And then Srila Prabhupada came here and he did the remaining work for us. He served it to us on a silver platter. Here, you can have it. And in summary, he told us, we're not this body. We are servants of Krishna, and we have to serve him. Simple.
We don't need to use our intelligence, do we? It's just very simply he has put, and all we have to do is follow that. And that's what my intelligence sometimes tells me, is that, I love to come to Bhagavatam class. It's my favorite part of the day, where I can sit down and make garlands and hear somebody sitting here and give the class. I don't have to use my intelligence. I have to just open my ears. Luckily, you don't have to open them. They're always open. And things go in the ear holes, yeah? So I can just sit there and make garlands and just hear. It's like, it's a real entertainment. It's like watching a movie. When you watch a movie, do you really have your intelligence on? The idea about watching a movie, you just sit down and relax. You can just sit down, put your feet up on the table, relax on your couch, and watch. Certainly that some part of intelligence is going, because otherwise, if you don't have any intelligence, Prabhupada writes here, you'll be a deranged man. So some intelligence is going, because we can follow what's happening, and we're watching and everything. But otherwise, for most practical purposes, our intelligence is kind of almost turned off. So one can hear, at least I can say for myself, I can hear Bhagavatam class and just hear with a little intelligence, turn on, and enjoy it, and making the garlands. It's just a very, very nice thing to do. So because we know every single day we hear the same philosophy. Whoever comes and sits down here gets the same philosophy ultimately. Chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, associate with devotees, and what else?
Share.
Preach. Yeah, okay. But, yes, the question is, do we need to use our intelligence? We have enough intelligence, so we accepted that. We don't have to be like Lord Brahma. We have to try to figure out. Everything has been told to us. And so, yes, using intelligence is a question. I know, I was thinking that how in our law practice, it's amazing that all these cases come and it seems like you would think that you could close your eyes and just do each case, but each case is different. And there's always some questions. So I'll ask the Mr. Lawyer that could you please tell me how to respond, and then they say, well, why don't you do the research? I'm like, I'm not the lawyer. Why should I do the research? And so he'll be kind enough to do the research, but then he'll send me an email it's not clear, the answer is never clearly given, but he'll send me the material. He'll say, okay, read this and figure it out. I'm like, I have to use my intelligence to read this? I didn't go to law school. Why should I do it? Why should I use my intelligence? And certainly, maybe I took the time and energy. Maybe if I read three times with my one head, maybe I would be able to figure out. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And so, unfortunately, the same kind of, I would say, laziness that we may have spills into studying the Bhagavatam or hearing the Bhagavatam class. But Bhagavatam class, even if you have your intelligence turned off, still things come in there. And over the years, I've heard Nagas Prabhu mention so many times Tattva Sandharva. And we have a Tattva Sandharva in our house because the other half likes to read it. But I never touch it because it's Tattva Sandharva. You know what I mean? Just the name, kind of scary. However, one time I actually thought, okay, after hearing the name, I thought, okay, let me go and check it out. And I did finish the introduction. I didn't go beyond that. But I want to read something about, from the Tattva Sandharva, that Gopi Pranadhana Prabhu writes. He's writing his introduction, and he, the Sandharvas is basically systematically telling what the Bhagavatam says. It's a systematic way of expressing our philosophy that Jiva Goswami has kindly written. And the Bhagavatam is the subject matter, or is the praman, I should say, for what he's writing. And so he writes he writes the third verse of the Bhagavatam, Nigama Kalpataro Galitam Phalam. And he writes the third verse, I don't remember the English, but basically Shukadeva Goswami has given us this Bhagavatam for the expert and thoughtful man to relish this Bhagavatam. Now, he says two things. There are two kinds of people who approach the Bhagavatam. One who are expert and thoughtful men who love to relish the Bhagavatam. They're already on the high stage. And so when they read the Bhagavatam, they relish it. They drink it. They drink this juice. And we are the other part, other section, who are trying to taste it. You try to taste it. I mean, I never did that, but I've heard that initially when people start drinking, young people, when they start drinking, it's actually very distasteful. And then they have to develop a taste. So then slowly they take a little bit at a time and they develop a taste and then they like it and then they learn so much about it and they learn how to mix drinks and how, like really relish it, yeah? And so this is the stage we're at. We just like tasting it a little bit. The question here, and that's why I'm reading, the question is, do we need to use our intelligence when everything is already served to us so nicely, so simply? We know the essence. Do we need to use our intelligence for this process of Krishna consciousness? And that is to love Krishna. So this is what Gopi Pramodhana Prabhu writes. I read this thing so many times, this what he writes in his introduction. So please, turn on your intelligence and hear what he has to say here. Now this Gopi Pramodhana Prabhu, as you know, he has, his whole life was studying Srila Prabhupada's books, translating Srila Prabhupada's books. He lived a life of a real brahmana, living in Govardhan in a very simple way. So we're talking about somebody who's just not an academic kind of person. Somebody who's a realized soul. So please hear this very, very attentively. Learning to love Krishna requires preliminary study of his nature, qualities, and activities. Okay? It requires preliminary study of his nature, qualities, and activities. The kinds and qualities of the relationship he wants and offers to exchange with us. And what obstructs and prevents us from experiencing those relationships. So here, Gopi Pramodhana Prabhu is writing that we need some initial study. We need some study to love Krishna. So what are we studying? Krishna's nature, qualities, activities, kinds of relationship he wants, and he offers us. And that, not only that, what obstructs and prevents us from experiencing those relationships. Further, he says, understanding Krishna is not such an easy matter. I would like to ask one of you would like to say why understanding Krishna is not such an easy matter? Anybody would like to express something?
He's
Achintya Guna Swarupam.
Inconceivable,
innumerable attributes.
And instead of form.
Yes.
And we are conditioned.
And we're conditioned. Very good. Okay.
He has to reveal it.
He has to reveal it. All very good points. All very good points. Yes, Pandavanapuru?
I was thinking we have to hear attentively, contemplate, reflect, assimilate. Then when we comprehend, you can say understood.
Thank you. Thank you. Such thoughtful answers. Now we'll hear what Gopi Pranadhan provides. Understanding Krishna is not such an easy matter because he is more sublime and more complex than anyone can imagine. Comprehending one's personal connection with him and knowing how to re-establish it also requires deep study and commitment. So he said initially we require preliminary study. Then he's saying here it requires deep study and commitment. This is to comprehend one's personal connection with him and learn how to reestablish it. And the conditioning and illusions that have kept us from our relationship with Krishna. Listen to this. When I heard that, I'm like, oh my God. He said, and the conditioning and illusions that have kept us from our relationship with Krishna take strong lessons to break. In other words, it's not that easy. Therefore, he writes, the Bhagavatam endeavors a great length to impart such lessons to those sincere souls. And I think we all are sincere souls here. To those sincere souls who find shelter in its study. Isn't that nice? The Bhagavatam endeavors a great length to impart such lessons to those sincere souls who find shelter in its study. These divine lessons are dispersed throughout the text in the narration of historical incidents, in direct instructions by Krishna's avatars, and in prayers offered by devotees of the Lord. What a realized writing he writes here in this little paragraph here, telling us what we have to do. It's not just, we can't just think that we can be spoon-fed. We have to do some deep study and commitment. Because Krishna is very complex and very sublime. And it's not that Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport here, it's just this intelligence, it's not that it is given, and it's not that it is our intelligence, but we have to use our intelligence, and then Krishna reveals it, yeah? What is that verse? In the 10th chapter, Satata Yuktanam? Bhajatam Priti Vidami Buddhi Yogam. So he's saying, Tesham Satata Yuktanam, Bhajatam Priti Purvaka. Those who come together, as we are here, we come here every day, come together and hear the Bhagavatam. Or we have our own study groups, so we come together in the family. We come together and we hear the Bhagavatam, we make a commitment to hear the Bhagavatam, we make a commitment to study the Bhagavatam. Then Krishna says, Dadami Buddhi Yogantam. He gives us the intelligence. So we have to use our intelligence, but he gives intelligence. But we have to endeavor to use our intelligence. We can't sit in the Bhagavatam class and turn off our intelligence. Like, and I tend to do. It's funny, the other Saturday, Rupa Padmaraj was giving, he actually gave Bhagavatam class on this same verse. And when he was giving class, and I literally in my mind I thought, okay, I need to concentrate, because when Maharaj gives class, it's packed. So I need to turn on my intelligence sitting here. And so I did. I sat there and I heard with no distraction, just to hear every word, because I knew that if I space out, then I'm going to lose the thread of what he's saying. It's funny, because later on I was telling that to my brother Varuna, and then Varuna also said the same thing. He said, yeah, when I sat there, I'm like, okay, I have to concentrate, because it's not going to be story time, you know. We have to hear. And so yes, Bhagavatam, we have to study the Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada writes in one of the purport, he says, when Bhakti Yoga develops on the basis of Vedanta philosophy, it is factual and steady. So in order for us to love Krishna, and for our Krishna consciousness to be factual, not virtual, factual, to feel it, to experience it, for it to be in the disciplic succession of what our acharyas have given to us, and for it to be steady, it develops on the basis of Vedanta philosophy. Krishna Das Kaviraj, in his and as I was mentioning to you, that it's mainly laziness, at least that's how I perceive on my side. And Krishna Das Kaviraj, he writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and if you know, especially the Adilila, is so much philosophy. There's so much philosophy, and even in the other, in the Madhulila, I remember in our readings, the Prabhupada, maybe it was in Adilila, in the purports, he was talking about how to defeat the Mayavadis, and so much philosophy, and reading that, I remember it was just not me, all of us ladies were reading it, like, okay, is this Prabhupada telling, is this what we believe in, or is this the Mayavadis believing? Like, we were so confused, because you have to concentrate, focus on what is being said, and there's so much subtleties, and it's just like in the law practice, it's just, you have to really figure it out, what is being said. And Krishna Das Kaviraj, in Adilila, in the, I think it's the second chapter, or maybe it's in the first chapter, this famous quote, he says, Siddhanta Bolia Chitte Nakara Alas. Don't, alas. Other Prabhupada says in the word lazy, although in the translation itself he doesn't say that, but don't be lazy when it comes to Siddhanta, to understand the conclusions that are given by our acharyas, that are given by the Goswamis. Don't be lazy. Krishna lage sudhrida manasa. That's how we become attached to Krishna. He says this this verse. It's very interesting. He goes through a whole explanation saying that how Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead and not Narayan. He says some people say Narayan. People say Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he has four arms, you know, and Krishna has two arms, and because we are in two arms, so people think, surely four-handed Narayan is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we come from him. So he goes through a whole explanation citing the Bhagavatam. And after he does that, that's interesting, then he establishes that, and then he says, and so, but you know, people say that Krishna comes from Sri Lakshmi Vishnu, then that is also fine. And Krishna is Narayan, that is fine. After he goes through a whole explanation that how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead And all the incarnations come from him. He quotes every chance I collect from some. I'm assuming he quotes that. But then he says, but Krishna, well, some people say Krishna comes from Vishnu, Shivakashaya Vishnu, that's fine. Because Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and everything is possible in Krishna. And then he says that, don't be lazy. Don't think that these are some controversial things and you don't want to use your brain. So, no. Use your brain. Here, Prabhupada, again, I thought it was pretty interesting. He says, yeah, if you don't use your intelligence, a person who doesn't use the intelligence is a deranged man. So we don't want to be deranged men or women here. We want to love Krishna. In order to love Krishna, we need to use our intelligence. That is God-given. God-given intelligence. He has already given it to us and we have to use it. So I'll stop here for any question and answers here or reflections that anybody has on this subject matter. Yes, Prabhu. You can always depend on Abhijit Prabhu for he always has his intelligence on, always. And then he always asks some nice questions. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Mataji, for a very nice class. I have a question on laziness.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we all have some kind of laziness. How much laziness is acceptable? That is.
How much laziness is what?
Is acceptable.
It's acceptable. Well, you're asking me or you're asking what the Shastra says or what Prabhupada says? Srila Prabhupada says, don't waste a single moment. But it's interesting the question that you ask, because laziness does not mean you cannot be relaxed. I just love to see those pictures and videos of Srila Prabhupada. He's sitting, you know, even in Los Angeles, but I'm thinking more about Mayapur. He just sits relaxed with his, you know, hands like this, with his, you know, this is a very relaxed position, yeah? Very relaxed. Relaxed, but not lazy. And so, I think, yes, we should not waste a single moment. And we should not be lazy. But we can be relaxed. We can be relaxed. And we have, Prabhupada has given us certain Vaishnav sports, like swimming, you know, so there is certain thing as recreation. But laziness is not part of our philosophy. Actually, when it says that in one of the symptoms of bhava bhakti, yeah, that never waste a moment. So maybe understanding what laziness means. Yes. Yes, Vedya Pitru. And then Varuna.
Hare Krishna. It was such a lovely class. And because so much we heard about the importance of intelligence, and then Prabhu asked about lazy, what came for me was Prabhupada's description of different ways of being. Like there's active, intelligent, there's lazy fool, there's active fool, which is the worst, and lazy intelligent, which Prabhupada said is the best way to be, because you can use your intelligence to figure out how to get whatever it is you want to get accomplished with the littlest effort.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you. Really?
Thank you for your very nice class, Madhumati Mataji.
That's right. Get it right. Mataji, yes.
So I appreciate it. I really enjoyed your description of Gopipurana Dhana Prabhu's realizations and also what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote in CC. But what I really want to say is that I am so grateful and appreciative of your association to this fallen soul for 60 years. And before that, even in the womb, I don't know. I don't know what happened there, but it was a tight space. But I really appreciate, just like, and I know, like Dhruva Maharaj thought about his mother, or Prahlad Maharaj thought about Hiranyakashipu. Similarly, I know that I depend on your prayerful well wishes for my deliverance. Thank you.
Thank you, Guru. You're just too kind. Thank you. Well, I think we always help each other out, so your prayers are also required for my deliverance. Yes, Mother Vedvati, such a sweetheart.
I was thinking about one of the ways that is very helpful for us to use our intelligence. Mm-hmm. I liked your description of how simple and easy it is to sit in class and hear, but before we sit and hear and just accept what comes in, we have to intelligently analyze, from whom am I hearing? Mm-hmm. Is this a bona fide source? What kind of character they have? Mm-hmm. We see, I just think of current events, the different news sources, which are quite biased in most cases. Many people just turn off their intelligence and whatever their source is without analyzing the character like that. So coming into cyclic succession, mm-hmm. and hearing, mm-hmm. we're very fortunate because we've already accepted. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, even in the association of devotees, somebody starts going off a little different direction, a little different, and we have to know, mm-hmm. where this is coming from, and is it actually, we have to know what Prabhupada says, so is this in our line, mm-hmm. is it a slight deviation?
Mm-hmm. Very important point. Thank you. Well, it's a very important point that you actually bring up. Even when you're sitting down and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class, a little tangents, a little, a slight. And you can see that if your goal is here, and even a 0.0001 degrees of curve, you go, then you will not end up there. You'll eventually end up somewhere else. Yes, so it's very important. Actually, we were just reading yesterday about, with the family, Prabhupada Lamita, and Prabhupada said, Satya Maharaj writes in there that when Srila Prabhupada went to hear, when Narayan Malik, dragged him to hear, and there, Satya Maharaj writes that Prabhupada was, very immediately impressed, but he wasn't going to drop his intelligent skepticism. In other words, he kept his skepticism there a little bit, so you almost have to have that there as you're hearing.
Right.
Thank you.
Another thing too, when you were mentioning that word, scrutinizingly,
mm-hmm.
it reminded me that, one of the things Ramakrishna Swami said when he was here, I heard him several times say, oh, it's Alachua, I have to be careful, because the people here, devotees here are very smart. And I thought, well, it doesn't mean devotees elsewhere aren't smart, but maybe, considering the whole group that come to class, more people have been around longer, more familiar with what's in Prabhupada's books, and also we have this habit or regular practice of discussing which maybe not every community has, but that the six Goswamis scrutinizingly studied. Prabhupada also warned us that the Bhagavat, in the Bhagavat, you should study the Bhagavatam threadbare from different angles of vision. Because sometimes we see, like Vishakha gave that class one time about women, and she was quoting different parts of the Bhagavad and even different parts of the same pastime that appeared to be completely contradictory. And how to resolve these apparent contradictions. Because sometimes somebody will take one statement and make a whole, you know, devotional political campaign on it without considering the other things or Prabhupada's mood in dealing with devotees.
Yes, yes. I this made me want to read this that I had in my notes, was that about thoughts exchanging and discussing. And Srila Prabhupada writes that such pure devotees always merged in the knowledge of Krishna and absorbed in Krishna consciousness, exchange thoughts and realizations as great scientists exchange their views and discuss the results of their research in scientific academies. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that comment. Yes, Raghavendra.
So can we say that we, no matter who is speaking, especially on the asana, we can always inquire, what is the source? Yes. I mean, you know, it just occurred when Satchinandana Swami was here, and he was, narrating a pastime, and he was narrating the whole thing, and I wanted to know where it was from, just because of that point, basically. But he did end up, at the end, saying where it was from. So
yes, no, it's important. I actually remember one time in our readings, and probably you ladies remember that one time. In our CC meeting, Vishakha Devi was there, and I forget what point it was, but she said, where is this from? And she made the point, she was so emphatic that we have to know the source. We can't just say, I've heard, but we should know the source. We should go and find out what is the source of what we are saying, because it has to be factual. We have to know the absolute, we have to know where this is being said, and it might be said, but then we also have to know all of it through different angles, because we can just take one statement and go on a tangent. Yeah. Yes, Pandora.
Chapter 14, Bhagavad Gita, first book in the purport, Prabhupada said that philosophical speculation will take you to devotion, mental speculation will take you to hell. So it is, reference is so important, but also clarity in the reference.
Also what?
Clarity in the reference.
One example, Prabhupada said, Krishna reminded me of you. Prabhupada said, intelligence is that which will kill the desire before it turns into action. So we have to use the intelligence. And in a few lectures I heard Prabhupada use that one sloka from Bhagavatam, second canto actually. Ishesya ishanam prakritastha vitadgune na jujyate sada atmasthita jata buddhi ashraya. If you want to stay above the three modes, you must engage intelligence to guard you. But I also found Balada Vidyavasan Thakur say, you have to guard your intelligence to guard you. Means we have to hear from Bhagavatam and Prabhupada, these are like a guarding the intelligence, then intelligence will guard us.
Thank you. Thank you. Pandurit Prabhu. Pandurit Prabhu, and then Sri Manipur.
I was just requesting that, because you quoted Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami that says we should not be lazy, but Bhagavati Mataji quoted a very nice Prabhupada that lazy intelligence is first class.
Lazy intelligence. So the intelligence is there. It's just you're physically not been running around and doing things. So, yeah, so when I think about what she said about lazy intelligence, is that you be intelligent, you use your intelligence, so you're not being lazy, because you're using your intelligence, but you can be lazy yourself in a sense, or you don't have to be running around. And Srila Prabhupada was the best example of that. Srila Prabhupada was very intelligent, and would you say he was lazy intelligent? Well, in one sense,
you got to have it done.
You know the pastime in Venice Beach where he spoke this? In the morning walk, and they made a beautiful beach, and they have a bench and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Prabhupada said, we are lazy intelligent. They work so hard to make this, and we come and chant and do our work. This is called lazy intelligence. Yeah.
There you are.
So lazy intelligence doesn't mean we ignore or neglect or don't want to do anything. No, we take advantage, instead of working hard, take advantage of people's, they take their pride.
Yes.
That's what Prabhupada said.
They take their pride. So they can work harder and we can relax. In a Krishna conscious way.
Well, I'm next for it, lazy, but you know, it's also, halfway there. So, it takes a lot of intelligence to be efficient. But, it's just, you're applying your energies in a focused way, as opposed to, I'm doing a lot of stuff and a lot of drama. You know, you're using your intelligence to apply your energies efficiently. So, it's a common saying, 20% of effort usually, if it's judiciously applied, will get 80% done, and it's usually trying to get that last 10-20% you got to put a lot of energy into. So then sometimes you need to do that, but again, then you have to discriminate. But where was that? I have a couple of small things. Where was the
thank you.
Where was the, you're welcome.
Are you discussing amongst each other, the crossover?
It's just a quick one. I'm asking his source. He was telling us where the source. But you had a nice quote there, like, philosophical intelligence brings you to Krishna. No, speculation. And mental speculation just takes you off into
hell.
Well, that was a little strong for me, but...
That's what he said, Prabhupada writes that?
Chapter 14.
Huh?
Chapter 14,
Bhagavad Gita,
the first
book,
you can read it.
Really? Oh, it's there? 19.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, that's concise. I mean, everybody, so
can I say my
comment? No, no.
I got a mic.
But it's just quick too. But we were talking about sources, and I mean, maybe I'm noticing this a little bit more. But it's my own thing. But
14.
Chapter 14.
I've noticed that Prabhupada is constantly qualifying information when he just even when he puts out. I'm done.
She's listening. I'm reading. She's listening.
I'm listening. I can hear and read. We're women. We can do a lot of things in one go.
So she can read the old one and know what you're asking.
Wow. That's everybody gets so nuts. Yeah, I know that one. That one. It's the
Yeah.
As it is. That's so good sense.
You want me to read that? You want me to read the source here? If one understands this chapter through the process of philosophical speculation, he will come to an understanding of devotional service.
There you go.
But what about the hell part?
That's another one in Bhagavatam. So you mix both.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mix both.
I mix. Because
it's
doesn't work.
It's
a special recipe. You take from here to there, and it is.
No. I guess I got my own world of misery, but yeah, to distinguish the two, that's a very concise way to suggest how inquiry can be engaged, and when the inquiry is not engaged, it can go off to the races and galloping up. But we were talking about how, not that I do this, but we should always reference sources constantly. Mm-hmm. And I always notice, even Prabhupada's just using casual knowledge, he's always saying, according to this, according to local law, according to, the guy at the ticket counter, whatever. He's constantly referring what's the source, as opposed to, I heard this, now I'm telling you. And because I'm telling you, it must be true. He's always qualifying. It almost like, just automatically. With sources and references.
That's what we're meant to when you're speaking. you are meant to qualify. That's why Prabhupada expected us to quote verses, Shastra, where it is from, so that we have, and they have to be qualified, you know, they have to be right sources. Again, I'm thinking about our law practice. For example, in our law practice, the government will not accept something from Wikipedia. If we're giving them some evidence, we have something really nice written on Wikipedia about International Society for Krishna Consciousness, but we can't, I mean, we do sometimes send that, but they don't really see that as an evidence. So it has to be a proper evidence, and that's what Jiva Goswami does. He first established that this is the evidence, Bhagavatam is the evidence, we accept that, and then whatever I'm going to say is going to qualify.
Yeah, Wikipedia, because that's a thing in academia too. Because, you know, it's but Wikipedia is also useful because they do make the Wikipedia entries reference where they get their sources. So
yes.
So what you do is, then they footnote, then you reference.
Then you can go.
Yeah, so it's actually helpful, but you can't reference.
Okay, I think it's 9 o'clock.
When you speak, we don't need any reference.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You're
already
qualified.
Okay.
Can I take away my last word?
Yes, please.
On this discussion, beautiful discussion. How much intelligence I have or we have, I may not have control on it, but how intelligently I use the intelligence, that depends on it.
Thank you. Very nice. Thank you. That's a nice last word. Hare Krishna, everybody. Thank you for your kind attention.